ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with الأصول الثلاثة the three fundamental principles of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, then with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last week we began the third of the three fundamental principles: knowledge about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just to quickly run through some of the many points that we had last week, then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that knowledge about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the third of the three fundamental principles which form the title of the book. And this is something obligatory. It's obligatory knowledge, that we have knowledge about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since he is the intermediary between us and Allah, or rather he's the intermediary between Allah and us with regard to conveying the deen, conveying the message in that sense. He is the one sent by Allah the Most High to convey the religion to us. So because of that, it's obligatory upon us that we know about him. We know who he was, where he was from, his land, where he was born, how long he lived there, when he left, where did he make hijrah to, the different stages of his life, that we need to know that, so that therefore we can follow him and carry out the obligation upon us to follow him, to worship Allah in the way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. For as Shaykh al-Fawzan pointed out, if we do not know someone, if we do not know a person, how can we follow them? How can you follow someone that you don't know, you're not aware of him, you don't know who he is, you don't know about him? How can it then be said that you're following him? This will not be correct. First of all, we need to know about him. And the first of the matters is, of course, is with regard to his name. And we had the point that Shaykh al-Fawzan made, that of course the most famous of his names was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which occurs in a number of ayahs. And the second name that he had, because he had a number of names, the second one being Ahmad, which also occurs in one ayah of the Quran. And both of these are derived from hamd, praise, to do with and connected with praise, praiseworthy qualities. And that he was also called Nabi al-Rahmah, the Prophet of Mercy, and Nabi al-Malhamah, the Prophet of Great War, and al-Hashir, the one after whom the rest of the people will be resurrected, and al-Aqib, the last one, the final prophet. And we had something from his lineage, that he was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, all the way back to the end of his lineage, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abdul Manaf, all the way back to the lineage, which you should have in front of you. One of the brothers says, Jazakallahu Khairan, has copied and it should be handed out in front of you now. So that definitely by next week, then there should be a number of us who know the lineage, or the authentic lineage, which is authentic back to Adnan, back to his forefather Adnan. So we had that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his great grandfather was Hashim. And the sons of Hashim are called the Banu Hashim, the children of Hashim, the clan of Hashim. And that Hashim was from the great tribe of Quraysh. And that Quraysh was the noblest of the tribes of the Arabs. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that the Arabs are of two branches: Al-Arab al-Ariba and Al-Arab al-Musta'raba. The Arab al-Ariba, the original Arabs, the ones who were Arabs before, right from initially. And they were the descendants of Qahtan. And Qahtan was from Yemen. And they are called the original Arabs, Al-Arab al-Ariba. And then the second branch, the second category of the Arabs, was Al-Arab al-Musta'araba, the Arabs who lived amongst the Arabs, and learned the Arabic tongue, and intermarried with the Arabs, and became Arabs. And they are the descendants of Adnan. Descendants of Adnan, obviously, from whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was descended. And they came about, and Adnan was from the descendants of Ismail, the Prophet of Allah, Ismail, the son of the Prophet of Allah, the Khalil of Allah, Ibrahim. And we had the story, without going into all the details that we had the story about how Ibrahim alayhi salam left his only son, his eldest and only son, Ismail, and left him in the place, the waterless place in the desert that later became the city of Mecca, with his mother Hajar. He was commanded by Allah to leave them there, to leave his wife Hajar with his only son Ismail, to leave them there. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he carried out the command, he left them, and he went back. And we had that Banu, a tribe of the original Arabs, Banu Jurham, from the descendants of Adnan, from the original Arabs rather, descendants of Qahtan. This Banu Jurham, that they were passing by, and they came and they saw birds circling there. They had the long, you know, the story. So what concluded was that the Banu Jurham, they settled in the place by the side of Hajar and Ismail. And Ismail, in later life, he married into the Banu Jurham, the tribe of original Arabs. And they became, and his descendants became, therefore, Arabs. Sheikh Fawzan also mentioned a point that some of the scholars derive the they divide the original Arabs, al-Arab al-Ariba, again into two categories. Al-Arab al-Badi'ah, Arabs who became extinct, passed away. And he gave the example of the people of Nuh, the people of Ad, the people of Thamud, the people of Shu'aib, and so on. Early Arabs, original Arabs, but they were destroyed by Allah. So they passed away. They existed, and then they were destroyed by Allah, passed away. And the ones who remained, Al-Arab al-Baqiyah, the rest of the Arabs who remained and carried on from them, the Banu Jurham. And then the remaining Arabs, then they divide into original Arabs and assimilated Arabs. So then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned the point, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the Banu Hashim, from the descendants of Hashim, from the clan of Hashim. And he mentions something from the seerah with regard to the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the son of Abdullah, and Abdullah died, as we'll see today inshaAllah, his father died whilst he was still in his mother's womb. However, at that time his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, he was still alive. And as for Abdul Muttalib, then Shaykh Fawzan said that's a title that was given to him, the slave belonging to Muttalib. But it was not his name. His name was Shaybah. So why was he called the slave of Muttalib? We had the story why he was called that. That Abdul Muttalib's father, Hashim, he married a woman from Medina, Salma, from the Banu Najjar in Medina. And she gave birth to Abdul Muttalib, whose name was Shaybah, in Medina. So when he grew up a little bit, when he was a boy, then his uncle Al-Muttalib went to fetch him from Medina to bring him to his relatives in Mecca. So his relatives in Mecca, the people in Mecca, had never seen this boy before. So he brought him back, a small boy, he brought him, obviously a long journey in those days, in the hot sun, so he brought him from Medina to Mecca. And with the heat and the light, it became dark on the journey. When he arrived in Mecca, they saw that Al-Muttalib, they knew his uncle, Al-Muttalib, and they saw a little boy with him who was very dark. So they thought he was a slave belonging to him, never seen him before. Thought he was a slave, so they called him. And they said about him, that's Abdul Muttalib, it's a slave of Muttalib. So he said, no, it's not my slave, it's my nephew. But the title stuck with him, Abdul Muttalib. And that was the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdul Muttalib was one of the four sons of Hashim. We had also the point that Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet, the Khalil of Allah, that he had, as we said, mentioned before, he had the son Ismail. And he had a second son, Ishaq. And from the second son, Ishaq, came all of the later prophets, the prophets of Banu Israel. They came through from the descendants of Ishaq. So all the prophets after that, they came from the descendants of Ishaq, except for one. Except for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came from the other son, from Ismail, the first son. And we had that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the year Amul Khil, the year of the elephant. And that he was born in the shit of the cleft in the mountain, the cleft of what's later called the cleft of Ali, Shi'ab Ali, who was before was known as Shi'ab Abi Talib, or was before was known as Shi'ab, the mountain cleft of the Banu Hashim. And that he was born in the year of the elephant, and we had the story of the elephant, this Abraha, that tyrant who came and wanted to destroy the Kaaba. We had that whole story and the ayahs came down in Surah Al-Fil with regard to that. The 105th surah of the Quran described that story. What happened to Abraha, how he came, he plotted to destroy the Kaaba, he came upon a great elephant with an army, and how he was destroyed by Allah. Then the text then continues on page 248 of this Lebanese edition, page 193 of the Egyptian print, that Shaykh al-Islam said, وَلَهُ مِنَ الْعُمُرِ ثَلَاثٌ وَسِتُّونَ سَنَةٌ أَرْبَعُونَ قَبْلَ النُّبُوَّةِ وَثَلَاثٌ وَعِشْرُونَ نَبِيًّا رَسُولًا نُبِّئَ بِإِقْرَأ. He said, he lived, obviously referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of this principle now, the third principle, is knowledge and awareness of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, he lived for 63 years, 40 years before prophethood, and for 23 years as a prophet and a messenger. He was sent as a prophet through Iqra, through the revelation of Iqra, the beginning of the Surah Iqra, 96th Surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Alaq. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, so he was born in Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was breastfed amongst Banu Sa'ad, amongst the tribe of Sa'ad, Banu Sa'ad, with Halima As-Sa'adiyya, with the woman who was sent out into the desert to that tribe, and a woman from that tribe, Halima As-Sa'adiyya from Banu Sa'ad, she breastfed him. The Shaykh said, and his father, Abdullah, died whilst he was still in the womb. I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his father died before he was born. And then his mother died a short time after his birth. As a side point here, Shaykh is indicating that there is some slight difference amongst the scholars about what age was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when his mother died. And amongst the sayings, there's the report of Ibn Ishaq that he was 6 years old at that time. Wallahu a'lam. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and after, so now his father died before he was born, and now his mother died whilst he was still young. Then he said, so he was taken care of by Ayman al-Habashiyyah. He was taken care of by Ayman, the woman of Abyssinia, whom he inherited from his father. In Ayman, she was a slave girl, from Abyssinia, from Africa, Abyssinia. She was a slave girl who was owned by his father. So when his father passed away, then he inherited this slave girl. She was a woman, a slave woman. He inherited her, and she looked after him. And he came to be under the kifala, under the guardianship of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And then Abdul Muttalib died, and his guardianship moved to his paternal uncle, Abu Talib. His guardianship moved to his father's brother, Abu Talib. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, lived for 40 years before prophethood, being well known for trustworthiness and truthfulness and generosity, and for avoiding the worship of idols and avoiding the drinking of khamr. He had not used to do what the people of the days of ignorance did. Rather, he, alayhi salatu wassalam, used to go out to the cave of Hira. Used to go to the cave of Hira and worship in it for days at a time. He would worship Allah upon the religious way of Ibrahim, upon Tawheed, and upon singling out Allah with worship. Then when he reached the age of 40, alayhi salatu wassalam, the revelation came down upon him, such that Jibreel came to him whilst he was in the cave of Hira and said to him, Iqra, recite. So he said, Ma ana biqari, I can't recite. I'm not a reciter. I can't recite. I don't know how to recite. Meaning, I'm not able to read. So he pressed him very tightly. And then he released him. And said, Iqra, recite. He said, I am not a reciter. Not able to read. Not a reciter. Then he pressed him for a second time. Jibreel pressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, squashed him, pressed him, then released him and said, Iqra, recite. He said, Ma ana biqari, I'm not a reciter, I can't recite. Then he pressed him for the third time. Then he released him and he said to him, Iqra. He said, I am not a reciter. So he said to him, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Surah Al-Alaq, the 96th surah, the initial ayahs of Surah Al-Alaq. This being the first two ayahs of Surah Al-Alaq. With the explanation, recite in the name of your Lord who created mankind from a clot of blood. Created man from a clot of blood. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so this was his nubuwa, this was his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophethood. Allah made him a prophet through Iqra, meaning he made him a prophet through that, and by sending that ayah, that first ayah of the Quran that came down, by sending that down to him. Then he went home, he went to his house shaking from fear, because he had encountered something which he had not known before, an extremely frightening matter. So he found his wife, Khadija, radiallahu anha, and she covered him up and calmed him down. And she said to him, no, by Allah, Allah would not humiliate you. For indeed, you maintain the ties of kinship, and you show hospitality to the guest, and you look after the orphans, and you help people who have been struck by calamities. Sheikh said, so she prepared him and took him to her uncle, her paternal uncle, Waraqa ibn Nawfal. And he was a man who had devoted himself to worship and who had read the previous scriptures and who worshipped Allah the Mighty and Majestic. So when he informed him of what he had seen, he said, this was the namus, this was the spirit who used to descend to Musa. The Shaykh said, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam. And Waraqa said to him, from his knowledge of the previous scriptures, what you have seen, it is that same spirit who came, used to come to the previous prophets, used to come to Musa alayhi salam. Then comes the saying of Shaykh al-Islam in the continuation of the text, with a small heading to begin it, نزول الوحي عليه, the coming down of the revelation to him. And the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, وَأُرْسِلَ بِالْمُدَّثِّرِ وَبَلَدُهُ مَكَّةِ وهاجر إلى المدينة. بعثه الله بالنذارة عن الشرك ويدعو إلى التوحيد، والدليل قوله تعالى: يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر والرجز فهجر ولا تمنن تستكثر ولربك فاصبر. سورة المدثر، الآيات الأولى إلى السابعة. The Sheikh said, and he was sent as a messenger with Al-Mudaththir. His land was Mecca, and he made hijrah, migration, to Al-Madinah. Allah sent him to warn against shirk and to call to Tawheed. The proof is his saying, and he quoted the first seven ayahs of Surah Al-Mudaththir. 74th Surah, ayahs 1 to 7. Ya ayyuhal mudaththir. First ayah all the way to the seventh ayah. With the explanation: O you wrapped in garments, arise and warn, and exalt your Lord, and purify your deeds, or your garments, and shun the idols, and do not give anything in order to receive more in return, and patiently persevere for the sake of your Lord. Sheikh Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, so he's already mentioned that he became a prophet through the sending down of the first ayah that came down, so the beginning of Surah Al-Alaq, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Now he mentioned that he moved on, and he was sent as a messenger by the sending down of the surah Al-Mudaththir. Sheikh Fawzan said, then there came down to him his saying, he the Most High, Ya Ayyuhal Mudaththir Qum Fa'andhir. The first two ayahs again with the explanation: O you wrapped in garments, arise and warn. Get up and warn. Sheikh Fawzan said, this was his being sent as a messenger. And this is the meaning of the saying of the Sheikh, he was made a prophet through Iqra, and he was sent as a Rasul, messenger, with Al-Mudaththir. Then he mentioned something that's come a number of times with us, the difference. What's the difference between a Nabi, a prophet, and a Rasul, a messenger? So he said, the difference between a Nabi, prophet, and a Rasul, messenger, is that a prophet, Nabi, is one to whom Allah has sent a revealed way, but he was not commanded to convey it. Whereas a messenger, a Rasul, is one to whom a revealed way was sent, and he was commanded to convey it. He said, and the clarification of that is that the messenger, a Rasul, is one to whom a revealed law comes down, and a book. So he, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent as a prophet through Iqra, and he was sent as a messenger through Al-Mudaththir at the age of 40. And that was the case with the prophets. And a Nabi, a prophet, is sent with a revealed law from before him. And a Nabi is sent with a revealed way, a revealed law of someone who came before him, a messenger who came before him. And with a book which was from before him. And he is entrusted with certain duties. Like the prophets of Banu Israel, who came after Musa. The Sheikh has given the example that the Anbiya, the prophets, the Anbiya of the Banu Israel, that they came after Musa, after the messenger, Musa alayhi salam. After that, many prophets were sent to reconfirm the same way of Musa alayhi salam. As a side point here, there are a number of other things that the scholars mention with regard to a definition of the difference between a Nabi, a Prophet, and a Rasul, a Messenger. Sheikh Muhammad Aman Al-Jami, rahimahullah, in his explanation, he mentions the same thing that was mentioned here. He mentions what's most well known as with regard to the difference is what we just heard now. That a Nabi, a Prophet, is one who had a revealed way sent to him, but he was not ordered to convey it to the people. Not ordered to call the people to it. Whereas a Rasul, then he had the extra duty, he had to call people to that. He said that's the most famous saying, the most well-known saying. He said, but what is more befitting, what's more befitting with regard to correctness, is that a prophet was someone who was sent with a message from someone before him. And he did not have an independent message himself. A prophet was sent to confirm an earlier message from before. He didn't have an independent and new message himself. So another saying is what Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, the Sheikh and the Muhaddith, the Muhaddith of Medina, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, what he mentioned in his explanation of the Hadith of Jibreel, that he said, regarding the difference between a prophet and a messenger. He said, a prophet is someone who had revelation sent to him, but he was not commanded to convey it for a certain time. Meaning for a bit of time, for a certain amount of time, he wasn't commanded to convey it. Meaning, but after that he was. Or that he was commanded to convey legislation which had come before him, a revealed way which had already been there before. Whereas a Rasul is someone who had revelation sent to him, he had a revealed way sent to him, and he had a book sent down to him. Wallahu a'lam. There's also another definition from Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, as well. Which he had, it came before. Which was very briefly that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said in his book An-Nubuwwat, that he said the difference is that a prophet, a Nabi, is one who was sent by Allah the Most High with a revealed way which Allah commanded him to convey to his followers, to his own people, his followers, not to opponents. Like the prophets of Banu Israel. They were sent, the prophets of Banu Israel were sent to their own people, Banu Israel, those who were upon the way of Musa alayhi salam. A prophet, a Nabi, would be sent to them to call them, call his own people, the ones who were already supposed to be believers, to call them and upon that way and correct them upon that way. Whereas a Rasul, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentioned, whereas a Rasul is one whom Allah the Most High sent with a revealed way to call the whole of the people in his time to it. Whether it be people who opposed, whether it be people who agreed. He had to call opponents as well outside, to call everyone in his area and time to it. Wallahu a'lam. So as we saw, Sheikh al-Fawzan, he quoted what is very often mentioned, that the difference between a prophet and a messenger is that a prophet, a Nabi, is one to whom Allah has sent revelation, but he is not commanded to convey it. Whereas a messenger is one to whom Allah sent revelation and he's ordered that he has to convey it, he has to call to it to convey it. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and Al-Mudathir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a messenger through Al-Mudathir. He said, Al-Mudathir means the one who is wrapped up. It's addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuha Al-Mudathir. What does term O Mudathir mean? Meaning one who is wrapped up. Because he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was struck by alarm. And when Jibreel came to him, he was struck by alarm. So he said, Dathiruni, Dathiruni, cover me up with garments, cover me up with garments. Meaning, cover me up. So therefore, Allah sent down to him, Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa'andhir, wa rabbaka fakabbir. He quoted the first three ayahs from Surah Al-Mudathir, again with the explanation, O you covered in garments. Get up and warn. And your Lord, Fakabbir. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning exalt him. Venerate and exalt him. Kabbir means exalt him. Venerate him. Adhimhu. Wa thiyabaka fatahhir. So Sheikh Fawzan is now explaining the ayahs one by one. Wa thiyabaka fatahhir. Meaning, obviously, normally it would be in the Arabic language, very often people understand that to mean wa thiyabaka fatahhir, meaning people very often understand meaning your garments purify. So and purify your garments, your thiyab. But Sheikh Fawzan said the meaning here is purify your deeds from shirk, and he explains why. Because the deeds, a person's deeds, his actions are called thiyab, they're called garments for him. And he gives an example of this. He said, Allah the Most High said, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 26. With the explanation, and the clothing of taqwa, the clothing of dutifulness to Allah, that is better. Shaykh Fawzan said, so taqwa here, dutifulness to Allah, fear of Allah and dutifulness to Allah, is called libas, is called clothing. So that's why he mentions that this ayah, the correct understanding of this part of this ayah, is purify your deeds, your purify your actions from shirk. وَالرُّجْزَ فَهَجُرْ. Sheikh Fawzan explains this. He said, الرجز, this word الرجز, which can carry the root meaning of filth, which is filth. Sheikh Fawzan said, explain this ayah, what's meant here. الرجز, filth here, its meaning is al-asnam, the idols. Fahajur, then shun it. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning abandon it, abandon that, and keep well away from them. Abandon them and keep well away from them. Then he said, so Allah raised him as a prophet at the age of 40, and he remained in Makkah for 13 years, calling the people to Tawheed and to the abandonment of the worship of the idols. And there were many discussions which he had with the people of Shirk, and he suffered harm upon himself and upon those who believed in him and his followers. And the people of Shirk, they caused many difficulties throughout the 13 years. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. They caused many difficulties throughout the 13 years. And he said, and before the hijrah, before the migration, 3 years before it, he was taken on the Isra, he was taken on the night journey to Bayt al-Maqdis, to Jerusalem. And he stayed in Makkah for 13 years. 3 years before the end, after 10 years of in Makkah, Allah the Most High caused him to be taken on a night journey to Jerusalem. And he was taken up through the heavens on the Mi'raj. He was taken up through the heavens. And the 5 daily prayers were made obligatory upon him. So he prayed in Makkah for 3 years. And the prayer became obligatory after 10 years of prophethood. 3 years before the hijrah, the prayer was made obligatory in Makkah. The Sheikh said, and then, meaning after that 3 years, and then the Quraysh plotted to kill him and to attack him. So therefore, Allah permitted him to make hijrah, to migrate to Al-Madinah. So he performed the migration, the hijrah, to Al-Madinah. After he had met with the Ansar, after he had met with deputations of the people of Medina, the Ansar, who became Muslim, after he had met with them, in the pledge of Al-Aqaba, the first one, and the first and second pledge of Al-Aqaba, at the time of pilgrimage, that the Prophet ﷺ met with some of them, gave them da'wah, and they accepted Islam. Then they went back after the first pledge, and they gave them a pledge, the first pledge of Aqaba. Then the next year, more of them came, and they also accepted Islam. They gave the pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second pledge of Aqaba. Sheikh said, then he made the hijrah. He migrated to Al-Madinah, and he remained there for 10 years. So altogether, it was 23 years. In 23 years of prophethood. after prophethood, he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, lived for 23 years. 13 years in Makkah, laying the foundations of the call to Tawheed, and for 10 years in Al-Madinah. Then Allah took his soul at the age of 63 years, alayhi salatu wasalam. So his lifespan in messengership was 23 years. And this blessing, which Allah the Most, the Mighty and Majestic, sent down upon him, and this abundant knowledge, and this jihad, and this establishment which he granted him upon the earth, was all in this short time of 13 years. This is one of the signs of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Not 13 years, 23 years rather. All of this was in this very short period of time of 23 years. I mean, the 23 years of prophethood, from when he was first made a sense of prophet to the end of his mission, till he was taken. It was 23 years only. So all this blessing that came about, this tremendous abundant knowledge, this jihad, this establishment that Allah brought about upon the earth, it happened in a period of just 23 years. So the Shaykh said, this is one of the signs of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And from the blessings given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the blessings of his call, and the blessings of the revelation which was sent down to him, all of that was a result of that. And before all of this, it came about through the aid of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. He is the one who helped him. He is the one who defended him and aided him until he conveyed his call to the east and the west. And all praise is for Allah, the Lord of the whole creation. And he said, his saying, بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ بِالنِّذَارَةِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ وَيَدْعُوا إِلَى التَّوْحِيدِ, that Allah sent him with a warning against shirk, and he called to Tawheed. The Shaykh said, this is his call, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, warning against shirk and calling to Tawheed. And this is what is obligatory for the callers, for the du'at. This is what is it is obligatory for the callers to proceed upon in their call, that they should focus upon warning against shirk and calling to Tawheed before everything. Otherwise, their call will not be upon the manhaj, will not be upon the methodology of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Shaykh said, Allah sent the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam with warning against shirk and calling to Tawheed. So therefore, it is essential to lay this foundation down. First of all, after that, the person can direct his attention to the rest of the matters. After that has been done, it has been laid down, it's firmly laid down. Since matters will not be correct and sound except with the presence of Tawheed. So if all of the people were to abandon zina, fornication, and were to abandon khamar, intoxicants, and were to abandon stealing, and they took on every virtuous quality from deeds and behavior, but they did not abandon shirk, then there would be no benefit in these matters, and they would not benefit them. All these fine qualities they took on, all these evil things that they left, if they were not upon Tawheed, it would not benefit them. Whereas, Shaykh was the vice versa, but whereas, if the people were to remain free of shirk, but they had major sins, which are less than shirk, then there is hope for such a person that Allah will forgive him, either forgive him, or punish him in accordance with the level of his sins. But his final destination will be to paradise, because he is a muwahhid, he is a person of Tawheed. So Tawheed is the fundamental basis and the foundation. And there is no salvation except with the presence of Tawheed, firstly. And therefore, it is obligatory to concentrate upon it and to always give attention to it and to call the people to it and to teach it to the people and to explain it to them. To explain to them what is the meaning of Tawheed and what is the meaning of Shirk. The Muslim must be aware of this matter and attain certainty concerning it. And he should check himself so that he does not fall into anything from shirk or infringe Tawheed. So this matter is essential. And the call, the da'wah, must proceed upon this basis. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد. We'll leave what follows until next time, inshallah. And just as a side, just as a point here, there is a bit of the text here which you'll find in all the other versions. What the continuation of the text here is: أخذ على هذا عشر سنين يدعو إلى التوحيد. He carried this out for 10 years, calling to Tawheed. So there's a part of the text missing here which you'll find in all the other versions. Whoever is memorizing it, you'll need to refer to a different version for the text. The part where the Shaykh al-Islam explains the words of the ayah. وَمَعْنَا قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ يُنذِرُ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ وَيَدْعُ إِلَى التَّوْحِيدِ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ أَيْ عَظِّمْهُ. To the end of that. There's about three lines, 2.5 lines of text which are missed out in this edition. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ. And just for those who are interested, we're getting quite close to the end of the book. There's maybe, Allahu a'lam exactly, but less than 10 lessons left in the book. We are thinking, after this book, if we carry on, the next book, as usual, we do an explanation. We do a book of Aqidah with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah. So we're thinking that the next book, seeing as the brother's going for Umrah now, inshallah, so whoever wants to try and get hold of the book, the next book we were hoping to do would be the Sharh al-Sunnah of al-Barbahari. Sharh al-Sunnah of Imam al-Barbahari with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, which is in 2 volumes. So whoever has any friends who are going abroad and wants to try and get hold of the book, then hope to you, inshaAllah. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanaka.